Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different home organizing businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the third of that series, and I interview Ariana Graham of Homemade Meat, based in Washington, D.C. Ariana started her business smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, and holy heck, is that brave. In this episode, Ariana talks about why she decided to embark on this journey in the middle of 2020 and how she fast-tracked her marketing. To get all the links mentioned in this episode, make sure to visit the show notes on marketingthatgenerates.com. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Ariana Graham, and she started Homemade Meat in June 2020, so not that long ago, to fulfill her passion to help busy moms create beautiful organizing systems that foster long-term independence, peace, and relaxation, and help restore joy in their home. Homemade Meat works with clients in the Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia area. Ariana, thank you so much for coming today.
No, thank you for inviting me, Lauren.
Oh, gosh, it's my pleasure. And I'm just so excited to talk to you because you've built this incredible home organizing business in the DC area. And I'd love to just hear a little more about your services and your approach to home organizing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Homemade Meat, as Lauren said, I started Homemade Meat a little over a year ago, crazy enough. Started it during the pandemic, which is probably a crazy time to start a business, but I just really wanted to fulfill my passion of helping others organize their home. And that was literally the best time to do it, since everyone spending more time at home and just looking at their homes and just thinking, my home really needs some organization. Homemade Meat, we offer professional home organizing services for various parts of the home. That could be anywhere from kitchens and pantries to home offices, closets, and playrooms. And we strive to provide a quality client experience and place a strong emphasis on detail. We create customized plans because no home is alike. Every home has different needs, and primarily, you know, if you have a family. So we basically create a customized plan that is going to cater to the client's individual needs.
I love that. And I'm guessing, you know, because your target audience is busy moms, that especially when there's any kiddos in the mix, it's really hard to keep things organized. And there's a lot of chaos happening, not intentionally, but just due to the nature of having kids around and them being in different stages of life. So when you say that you tailor your services to the client, I imagine that looks a little different, for example, if someone has toddlers versus if they have teenagers.
Yes. So definitely when there's younger children, for example, in a pantry, I recently did a pantry for a client who has a young kids under the age of 10. One is 6 and one is 2. So I had to really be very careful of how I laid out the pantry. I definitely didn't put anything that had glass, made sure that all of their snacks, for example, I created kid-friendly organizing solutions. So clear bins so that they can easily see their snacks. And I put them on a level of the pantry that they can easily get to. So it's always very different when you have, like, you know, older kids. Older kids, I definitely would not have had to pay that close attention details. But when you have younger kids that, you know, especially if you want them to be independent, that is definitely something that my business strives is to make it so that kids are more independent and they're not always running to mom and running to dad, you know, to get things for them. So yeah, that is definitely key to customize the home too, because every pantry is different. There's small pantries, mm-hmm. large pantries. So we really customize it based on the client's needs, which we, you know, discover right from the beginning of working with the client. They let us know what their problem areas are and what their goals are. And that's how I work with my clients. I make sure that I create a plan that's going to meet those needs and fulfill their organizing goals.
Gosh, I just love that. And I also love the concept of empowering the kids to get what they need, because, for example, I'm thinking about my nieces and nephews mm-hmm. where, you know, when I'm hanging out with them, they're like, hey, Lauren, can you help me get this? Can you help me get that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want things within their reach, but sometimes like certain right. snacks you don't want within their reach. Otherwise, you know, you might be in trouble with a sugar high.
Right. And that's actually something I did in a recent pantry. The mom, they had, you know, several canisters with candy. And she immediately said, though, these need to be at the top of the pantry so that the kids can't access it. So that's also part of the custom plan. When a client says that they want certain things to be at the, you know, top of the pantry, for example, versus within reach, that's something that we always keep in mind when we're in for any space. Like I had a client had a playroom for her children, and they're up at reading age, but they're still learning to read. So I had to be very careful with the labeling. I had to actually include pictures yeah. as well as words. So that was that way they can see, okay, this is where I put my dolls, for example. So those are the types of things that we do when we're creating a custom plan for a particular space.
I would never even think about any of that stuff, which is why I'm not a home organizer, but I think that's so incredible and such a great tool for, you know, the kiddos to be able to help put away things and help yes. identify what they need. Yeah.
Yes.
So you mentioned some problem areas. Are there common problem areas that you see tend to stay the same from client to client?
Well, one thing that most of my clients have in common is that they're not really, it's not so much keeping it organized, it's creating systems that will help them to keep it organized. And another thing is having too much of one thing. So like in a kitchen or a pantry, for example, it's very easy to overstuff it with things that you may not use on a daily basis. And that's where, you know, as a professional organizer, we come in and we immediately do the decluttering process and get rid of things that are like expired, things that are not, you know, used. And that's key, because if you keep adding on to clutter, that's when it becomes overwhelming. So that's something that we, you know, we do firsthand. And then that's when we go through the organizing process and setting up organization systems so that not just, you know, mom knows where things is, but the entire family knows how to get, you know, things like, you know, let's say out of the kitchen or pantry, they all know how to work, you know, independently in those spaces.
What a gift to mom. To not yeah. be the only one in charge of organizing, yes. you know?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I find that like, okay. you know, when with families, when, you know, when especially when there's younger kids too, it's always important to get them involved at a young age so that it's something that will carry them throughout, you know, their young adult life and their, you know, and when they're an adult as well. So it kind of goes beyond just, you know, organizing as a, you know, learning how to organize when they're young kids.
Wow, I think that's a really incredible ripple effect of what you do. So not only are you helping with the decluttering and putting in a, you know, getting things organized once, but you're creating a system so the family can stay organized and then modeling for the children, here's how you do this on it, you know, throughout your entire life. So you don't get in a position where there is too much stuff or there is maybe on the extreme hoarding happening. So I just think that's really, gosh, I would want, I want to like put that all over your social media and website. I'm sure it yeah. is there, but like that to me is like so powerful.
Yes. Yes. And that was one of my biggest, you know, as a child, I remember, you know, growing up, I'm the youngest of four. One of them, my siblings is actually my twin sister. And I just imagined how busy it was for my mom. She worked full time and she often worked on the weekend and, you know, ran the household. So I just remember spending so much time on the weekends just trying to clean and organize our home. And I could only imagine how beneficial it would have been for my mom to have had, you know, better organization systems set up so that we could all kind of help out and she didn't feel so stressed. So that was really one of the inspirations that led me to creating Homemade Need and to focus on the busy mom.
Wow, that's a really beautiful story. And I'm sure your mom loves hearing that you noticed all of that. So let's say someone's listening to the podcast and they're wondering, like, am I ready for Arianna to help organize my home? When is a good time for someone to seek out your services? Is it, you know, oh gosh, things are a total disaster and that's the only time I need home organization? Or is it, no, things are okay, but they're not where I want them to be?
Right. Well, I have people reach out to me in different stages. I have some who reach out that have already tried to what we call in the industry DIY organizing, which means that they try to purchase the organizing solutions and they try to set up, you know, organization in various parts of their home, only to find out that the systems don't really work, that like a day or a week later, it's back to disorder. So I would definitely suggest when I work with clients, my biggest thing that when I have a consultation with them, I always make sure that they're aware that there will be a level of commitment needed in order to do the organizing process, which starts with decluttering. And that's key. That's a key part of my organizing process, because as we were talking about earlier, I don't like organizing on top of clutter. It's very important to simplify things before organizing. And that is key, because if you keep adding onto clutter, it will make it even harder to set up systems that will stay organized. So, and that's really part of one of the reasons why things become unorganized, because there's too much of the clutter to begin with. I also like to let, you know, prospective clients know that hiring a professional organizer, there is a financial investment involved. It's a well worth investment, but they, you know, I always express that from the beginning when I'm working, you know, doing a consultation, just let them know there's an investment, not just in my services, but also in the organizing products. And, but that is going to be a life changing investment that will save them so much time. It will save them a lot of money and a lot of energy. So those, I would say once they're ready to, you know, commit to those two things, and just maybe like they're at their like last rope, I guess, so to speak, that they have nothing else to, you know, they've tried everything. I would say that will be the best time to, or even if they haven't tried anything and they just want someone, I have people reach out that who just don't have the time and they really want someone like to come in and help them. So it's pretty much, you know, it's a kind of an open-ended question. It's pretty much all of those things into one.
Yeah, I think those are great kind of qualifiers or buckets that if you're listening, you can kind of say, do I fit into one of these or not? And, you know, should I consider bringing someone in to help me with my home or organizing? And may I ask, because the decluttering process is almost the first step in your, or the decluttering is the first step in your process, can that be a little emotionally challenging for people?
Yeah, that's, you know, and although, you know, there's a lot of words that we use in the home organizing industry, decluttering is just one of the words. It's purging. And as you know, each organizer, you know, basically calls it something different, but for the most part, decluttering is really like just parting with things. And for home made need, we encourage our clients to part with things that either they don't need, they don't love, and they no longer use. And yes, it can be challenging, especially when you're working with parents who are like, for example, when I've done playrooms, it's a little challenging because the parents don't necessarily know, okay, what does my child still play with this or not? And if they have a lot of toys, a lot of kids don't like parting with their toys. So one thing I usually do, I do encourage the parent to kind of like, you know, let them know that, you know, we're gonna get rid of some of your toys, but we're, you know, I encourage them to donate them. And we actually, that's part of my service. We do donate the toys so that the child can learn that, you know, we're not gonna just throw your toys away, but you no longer play with this. So we're gonna donate this to a child who may not have these toys and who would love to enjoy these toys. So there's different methods that we use for kids versus adults, because, you know, as you know, kids are pretty attached to their toys and, you know, so. Yeah, so that the decluttering can be, you know, definitely, like you said, it can be emotional, especially if it's an adult. And they have items that, you know, either remind them of someone who, you know, is no longer with them, or it may just be something that just they are emotionally attached for whatever reason, and it's very difficult for them to part with it. So we have different strategies that we use, you know, whether it's taking a photo or just, you know, giving it to someone or donating it to someone. That way they feel good that, you know, they're not just throwing it in the trash, because that's right. Part of the problem. Like, a lot of people, they hesitate because they think, oh my God, I spent all of this money on this item, but then you don't use it. So it's causing you, you know, to add clutter to your home. So there's different strategies that we use with adults and kids to help them make the decluttering process a little easier.
Yeah, I can see how each scenario might be unique. But I imagine on the back end of that, once someone's gone through the whole transformation, they probably just have this huge weight lifted off their shoulders. Yes. When they see, look how organized everything is. Everything has a place. I know how to keep it organized. My family knows how to keep it organized. I mean, what a beautiful gift.
Yes. That's one of the most rewarding parts of you know, being a professional organizer, is just seeing the whole journey from beginning to end, because, you know, it could be, like you said, it could be a pretty difficult process. Organizing is a journey. That's how we like to see it in the industry. It's not something that happens overnight. It definitely takes, you know, time. And even when we come in and set up systems, I definitely don't profess that, you know, the systems are going to like be perfect, but I do give them the tools and the knowledge of how to keep things clean and organized. And that's just seeing that end result of how, you know, the reaction that the client gets from basically transforming their space. That's something that I just, I really enjoy, and what makes me continue and, you know, with my passion of with my organizing.
That's incredible. And so along those lines, you hinted at your inspiration for starting the business, gosh, about a year ago. But you know, it's so brave to start a business like during the craziness of a pandemic, but I think you hinted at people were really feeling the pain point of having disorganized homes. So it was actually a great time to start your business. But kind of, can you walk me through a little bit, like, why did you decide to start the business in June 2020? And what was the motivation?
Yeah, well, I have actually, you know, I've been developing the business for quite some time before I actually officially, you know, became an LLC in June of 2020. So it was really, like, to me, it was just the best time for me, because, you know, as we know, the world literally, you know, was upside down, and I had been thinking about it for a really long time. I had a business prior to this several years ago that wasn't really, I thought it was my passion. I was going to be a personal stylist. And I thought that really was what I wanted. And, you know, it took me a few years to kind of realize that was really not my passion. And it's kind of like, you know, on the way to a dream, you know, finding that you have another dream, another passion. So I just hit the trigger because it was literally just the right time. And, you know, just moving forward with it, especially since, you know, everyone is, it's like literally the time, because everyone is realizing that their homes really need home organizing. And I just hit play, and I just started taking the steps to develop the business. And here I am a year later, and Homemade Need is in full swing.
Wow, that's so incredible. And I'm guessing that by having a different business prior, you were able to get Homemade Need kind of off the ground maybe more quickly, because you kind of had already done it before, and some of the learning lessons that come along the way allow you to move really fast. Where when the first time you do anything, it's kind of like, do I need an LLC? Do I need a sole proprietorship? Like, there's all these questions that you don't know the answer to, and, you know, when it's the first time you do it.
Right. And then I took a different approach this time too. I actually worked with a couple of coaching programs online, business coaching, and that really took me to a different level. I also actually hired someone to assist me with my branding and my logo. I didn't do that before. And I'm learning more and more as I come, I guess, like, adverse into the industry, that, and just in general as a business, that having those things in place, like having your branding and your logo and your, you know, who your niche, that's like so important. So I've been focusing a lot on those things so that I'm attracting my ideal client. So I'm learning a lot of things. I wouldn't say mistakes from my previous business, but I'm approaching it in a very different, from a different mindset.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I think those are natural learning lessons that everyone goes through when they start their business. So it's just when you get to do it, I don't know if do it over, but when you get, it's almost like a fast track, you know, because you did it one way the first time and now you're doing it a different way.
Right. Very true.
Okay. So, you know, you started in June, you hired or got involved in some coaching programs. Do you think that fast tracked your marketing at all and how quickly you were able to acquire clients alongside, of course, the global situation that meant that there was perhaps some pent up demand for your services?
Yeah, I definitely think one of the coaching programs that I did was specifically catered to professional organizers. The woman who leads it, she's actually a professional organizer herself. And I just felt that, you know, the way she, you know, she literally fast tracked her business in a year. She was a 9-to-5er. She was able to fast track her business in 1 year. Just learning some of the marketing tools that she used in her business, it really helped me to like propel my business to where it is right now, where I'm, you know, gaining leads and working with clients. Whereas before I didn't have any leads. I just had, you know, and I didn't have any, my business wasn't really going anywhere. So just having the tools that she uses, like, you know, Instagram and like learning how to reach out to leads, how to qualify leads. I learned so many things that has really, you know, helped me with my marketing. Cause that was something I'm still learning, I would say, how to be, you know, best reach, you know, my ideal client. So I feel that if I didn't have that knowledge of how to market my business, I don't think I would have, you know, been at the point where I'm at right now, like, you know, gaining leads and working with clients. I would have probably still been at point A.
I think that's a really incredible insight for anyone who's listening that's maybe a little earlier on, that sometimes finding someone inside or outside your industry who's kind of been there and done it already and can fast track the path for you can be a worthwhile investment, even though sometimes it's really scary, you know, to say, okay, I'm investing in a coach or in a program, but I don't yet have customers. Like, is this really worthwhile? I mean, that can feel a little nerve-wracking, but I love that you looked at, okay, here's someone who's already done it. They're in my industry. So this is really going to help me propel the new business forward quickly.
Right. And shortly after I guess it literally paid for itself, because shortly after I completed, it was a 3-month program. And shortly after I completed the program, that's when I gained my first client. And it was actually a pretty big client, because I organized several spaces for this client. So that said it right. That did it for me right there. Like, just, you know, coming into it with a little hesitation, like, okay, I'm investing in this program. But what I've learned too, not just from my coach, but also just in general as an entrepreneur, you have to take those risks. You do have to, you know, you have to invest in your business in order to be able to succeed. So that's something that I'm continuing to learn, that I do need to make investments, whether it's in marketing or whether it's, you know, in other areas of my business, in order to draw those leads and draw those and turn them into clients.
100%. And I think the first investment can always be the scariest one, because you're like, is there going to be return on investment here? Or I'm not really sure how to evaluate whether this is a good investment or not. But the more you do, the easier it gets, whether it's hiring a team member, investing in a coach, acquiring a skill set through a program. But it definitely gets easier after the first time, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And I had actually invested in, it was a group coaching program first. And then I invested in a program that was a little more catered to professional organizers. So for me, it was even more like, oh my God, I just spent all this money on two programs. But from both of those programs, it really has built, given me the tools and the avenue to be able to bring my business to where it is right now. Like, you know, basically ready to run off the ground and move forward.
That's incredible. So, you know, looking at where the business is at right now, is there a primary channel or method or a couple that help you acquire new leads and get in front of new people?
Yeah. So primarily, I would say most of my leads come from Instagram. I am on Facebook as well, but mostly Instagram. I get a lot of people reaching out, you know, via DM. I also get referrals from friends and family, because I did let everyone know when I started my business, hey, I'm a professional organizer. If you know anyone who's looking for my services, I would definitely say those are my top two. So Instagram and referrals are my top two.
I think that's incredible. And sometimes I think it's easy to be like, I don't need to tell people what I'm doing because that's too promotional or that's too spammy. And so many times our personal network that we already have, either one, they're invested in your success, but two, they may know people who may be a good fit for you. And it's just a really easy way to get started without doing a huge big complicated marketing push. And so I love that you did that.
Right. Right. And then I did recently start a referral program as well after I worked with this client, and she immediately referred me to one of her friends. So I definitely feel that referrals is going to be a big thing that I will focus on, because people want to work with people that they can see, know, and they want to refer them to their friend because they trust that person because they've done a great job. So they want to refer someone who they know is going to do a good job for them. So I definitely plan to focus a lot more on referrals, but also really up-level my Instagram, because to be quite honest, I didn't really like social media prior to starting my business, but the more and more, because I just, to me, I'm kind of a little old-fashioned when it comes to, communication. But for me, I think that I've realized, okay, Instagram and social media is really where the marketing, is right now for my business. So I've just, really had to put aside, my, I guess, learning curve with social media and just go into it full swing. And I've been learning along the way, and I'm learning what my audience likes and what my audience doesn't like, and what is attracting, my ideal client and what is not attracting my ideal client.
Well, I think you're doing some amazing work on your Instagram.
Thank you.
First of all, and I think it's so rewarding for someone who doesn't like social media to be like, no, this is paying off. So I'm getting enough feedback to know, okay, let me put some more time or let me put some more effort into this. Right. So at least, I too have a love-hate relationship with social media. I think most people do. But when you see that it's a tool for you to build relationships online and kind of take away the oh gosh, I have to post, or oh gosh, and you see it more as this is just a leveraged way for me to build relationships online and let people know what I'm doing and see who's interested and in what I have to offer, then I think it becomes a lot more palatable.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of my challenge is a lot of my followers don't notice or maybe have not realized, but when I started Homemade Need, I actually was working a 9-to-5, and I still am working my 9-to-5. I do plan to eventually, run Homemade Need full time, but it could be a little challenging, to balance the two, with running a business or starting a business, I should say, with a 9-to-5. So that is something that I've definitely learned, how to balance those two. And I'm still learning, because it's, it could be challenging too, because running a social media page like Instagram or Facebook, it's like having a full-time job. So it's, and then keeping up with what's going on in the social media world is definitely can be overwhelming, but I've learned different ways to kind of balance the two. I do, plan my content ahead of time as much as I can. And I realize, if I don't have anything to post, it's okay. I'd rather post quality content versus just getting a post out. So it's just different things that I've been learning to make sure that I'm not burnt out by social media.
I think those are such good takeaways for anyone listening. So just to repeat them, batching your content ahead of time and focusing on quality over content quantity and giving yourself a break if you don't have something of quality to post, I think just takes the pressure off a lot and helps you stay organized, especially if you're also working a 9-to-5. I mean, gosh, that is challenging to juggle all of those things.
It is. And right now, Homemade Need, I don't have any employees or subcontractors. So I'm literally, I'm a solo entrepreneur. I'm literally, running everything, from working with clients to planning. Because there's a lot of planning that goes behind that as a professional organizer that we do leading up to working with the client in person. So it's a lot, but it's definitely something I'm passionate about. And as I learn more about how to balance everything, and I do eventually plan to hire, especially when I'm working on site with clients, I do plan to hire some help, I should say, to help me with either whether it be like some parts of my business behind the scenes, as well as working with clients on site.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I actually think in some ways, having the constraint of limited time to work on the business forces you to get, and pun not intended, but forces you to get a lot more organized and streamlined with your systems and processes, because it's not like, hey, I have 8 hours today to work on my Instagram, right? So in many ways, I think it puts you ahead of the game.
Right. Very true.
And, you know, we had a guest on an earlier season who's fabulous at Instagram. I definitely recommend checking her out. Her name is Jess Hobbs and her handle is Social Savvy HQ. She has really great tips for Instagram and that are really actionable and easy to see some quick wins from. And just, she's really stellar. And so not just for you, but anyone who's listening that's thinking, oh, I too want to get, you know, focus on my Instagram. I think Jess's interview and all of her resources online are really great. And she has some great, like, here's four categories of posts that you can do, that I think, especially for your content, would work really well for you.
Oh, great. Thanks for that recommendation, Lauren. I'll have to check her out because I'm always, that's one thing with me. I love learning, even though sometimes I get a little frustrated because things move so quickly in the social media world.
Yes.
But yes. I think just, you know, I'm sure you can relate to that. I think just, you know, having people who are doing it successfully, it gives me hope that, you know, if I'm thinking, okay, I want to, you know, I really want to, like, you know, uplevel my Instagram, just having people who have the resources of things that work for them and that didn't work, just having that is like so helpful. So I'm definitely going to check her out.
Yeah. And she, like, you can get so much from her free content, and like, keeping up with all the changes in social media alone can be a full-time job. So just having someone who's like, hey, I've got it handled for you. I'm letting you know when things change and here's what to pay attention to and here's what to ignore. Like, it's just so helpful because who has time to keep up with all that, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly. Because for me, I'm more, you know, I always focus on my clients and, you know, making sure that I do an excellent job for them and help them meet their organizing goals. So it's really, you know, good to have, you know, resources out there. And even in the professional organizing community, I've, you know, talked to so many different professional organizers around the country and the world, believe it or not. And what I love about our industry is that everyone is so helpful. You know, some industries, it's about competition, but because there's so many people who need our services, even in my area, there are lots of other organizers in the DC, Maryland and Virginia area. And I, you know, we all have, there's so much work around. We all are very helpful to each other, whether it's like providing a resource or just being, you know, there to support each other. So that's something that, you know, I literally was so happy and impressed with the industry when I first started last year, that I had so many welcoming arms, you know, even to this day, like helping me out with my first few organizing projects. It's so helpful to have people, other organizers who've been there and done that.
Yes. And I think sometimes we view others in our industry as competition, and I really don't see it that way. There's a lot to learn from others, and often there's a lot of referrals that can happen because you're too busy or they're too busy, or maybe they don't serve busy moms, but you do. And so I think the more people you can talk to in your world, you know, the better off you'll be long term.
True. And I've definitely developed a lot of relationships with other professional organizers who are in different stages, like some who are very successful at what they do. And I look up to them, you know, as a, like an inspiration. But then there's also professional organizers who I've, you know, recently found that they look up to me. And I'm like, wow, I just started my business last year. So that kind of is very helpful to see, you know, other organizers, like, you know, commending me, oh, you did a great job on that, you know, project. When, of course, you know, that's one thing, being a professional organizer, we always see things that we could have done better. But just having other organizers who have been in the industry for a number of years just like commend you for your work, that just makes it even more like, that makes me, at least with Homemade Neat, push forward, because it could be challenging, you know, being a first time entrepreneur. And I'm self-taught as an organizer. I don't, you know, have any special skills. I'm not certified. I'm not a certified professional organizer. I just am naturally, you know, it's something that I've always had a natural gift for and talent. but I just never really was able to bring it to life until I had the opportunity to create Homemade Meat.
That's pretty dang cool, and must be like so uplifting to hear someone say like, I really admire that you did this, or this is awesome that you did this, that, you know, is in your industry. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes, it really is. It truly is.
So, Ariana, I also noticed that you have this great consultation booking link on your website. Is that how you qualify leads, by jumping on a call with them and asking them a few questions through a form about like what their current struggles are from an organization standpoint?
Yeah, well, there's a number. That's the first option. There's a form that they can fill out. Well, they actually have to fill out the form before they can actually finalize their consultation. So that's just a way of capturing their information. And it's capturing not only their personal information, but also capturing, I have a few questions about, you know, what are their organizing goals? What's, you know, their time frame, are they able to make the financial commitment? And I do express that ahead of time, because I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not wasting their time, and they're not, you know, and, you know, I'm not wasting my time, because they, you know, a lot of people don't really know what the process is about. So some people, you know, just kind of need that extra information. So once they fill out that form and they schedule a consultation with me, that's when we start talking about their goals, and I give them an overview of my process. And then, you know, at the end of the call, we do discuss the organizing packages and the next steps to work with me.
Yeah, I really love your form and your booking process. It's, you know, through a software called Dubsado, which I think is fabulous. Yes. It's so stellar for service providers. It's, you know, it's basically a CRM. And I'll link it in the show notes for anyone who's interested in looking into it, but it can really streamline some of these processes. And I just think your form's really well done, because you ask probably a lot of the questions that you're going to ask over and over again if on a call, but you get it up front and then are able to say, you know, if I'm not a good fit for this person, can I send them somewhere else before forcing them to jump on a call with you and spend 30 minutes of their time?
Right. And it also gives me like kind of like a little bit of like a summary, so that I can be better prepared before I speak with this prospective client, so that I'm not going into the meat consultation, is what we call homemade meat. I'm not going into the meat consultation blindly. I'm going in with, you know, information, you know, about this prospective client, and I can better, you know, format the call, because I know exactly, you know, what their goals are, what spaces they're looking to organize. So that, to me, that's key. And I also, you know, like you said, I absolutely love Dubsado. I just recently started using that client management system. And I love that it does everything for you once you set it up. So having that form, like I actually had someone book a call for, you know, in a few days, and it automatically sends you a notification, you know, when someone books a call and using that form. So versus me having to like, you know, go into the program and look and see, oh, did someone book a call with me? So everything's so instant.
Yeah. They have really great trainings too for,
yes,
if you're just getting started with them and you're like, okay, how do I set this up in the right way? How is it going to take work off my plate? It's just, it's a great software, and you can check them out when I include them in the show notes. But it's not just forms and calendar booking links, but invoicing, contract signatures. It's just really stellar and kind of takes that back end stuff off your plate, because it's all systematized.
Right. And what I really also love about it, Lauren, too, and I'm planning to use this feature more often. I haven't really used it that much, but it does allow you to capture leads. So, you know, if someone reaches out, because I also get people who DM me and on Instagram who they may not quite be ready to work with me right now. I've had people reach out that are planning to purchase a new home within the next year. And I always suggest, you know, start talking a little closer to when you move into the home, because organizing, you know, your current home is not really going to benefit you for your new home, because every space is different. So I have a way to track, you know, those leads to be able to follow up with them. And I can actually set a reminder to follow up with that particular lead, you know, let's say if I agreed that I will follow up, you know, 4 months from now, I can set that up in my calendar so that I'm not like remembering, wait a minute, when do I need to follow up with this lead? So I love that feature as well.
I think that's such an important takeaway for anyone who's listening, because as they say in sales, the fortune's in the follow-up. And if we have to rely on our own brains to remember to follow up 8 months from now, like, who's going to remember?
Right.
Who's going to remember that?
Right.
And you really stand out in your industry if someone's like, you know, if someone reaches out to you like, hey, I know you're getting close to thinking about purchasing your home, just want to check and see how it's going. I'd be like, oh my gosh, they remembered me. Like, that would really stand out for me as a prospective customer.
Right. Right. I agree.
Is there any other way that you kind of nurture those leads that maybe aren't yet ready? Or right now, is it primarily kind of that one-on-one outreach?
Well, right now, I always encourage them to, you know, to follow me, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook, so that they can, you know, still get, you know, the organizing tips and also inspiration. So that's one thing. But I definitely think that's something that I do, you know, I do need to form, because my business is still pretty new. I've only been in, you know, existence for a year. So it's definitely something I'm working on how to, you know, really stay in touch and track like leads that I need to follow up with. So and nurture them. I think definitely the main thing is I always encourage them to follow me online. I do need to come up with a more formal process to like follow up with them and keep them, you know, abreast to like what's, you know, and kind of keep in touch with them and just make sure that they know that I still know that they need help. It might not be right now, but I do, you know, that's something I'm working on right now in my business, of how to, versus just putting them in a, you know, the management system and then, you know, following up with them. But how do I keep them engaged in my content and in my services?
Yeah. Well, I think sending them to Instagram is a great start, and just using Dubsado to periodically reach out. But if you wanted an easy-ish way to, that was pretty leveraged, you could just add in some email marketing where you're creating the same content that you're creating for Instagram. You're just reaching them in a different channel where you have a little bit more control over your like placement in their inbox, but it wouldn't require all this extra work, you know, because if the content's already created, it's just putting it in a different medium.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I do have a newsletter that I started, and I haven't really done much with it, but it's through MailChimp. So I do have a special newsletter. I am planning to possibly get that started up at some point, in whether it's just like a monthly newsletter or just with some here are the posts, you know, that you missed for the week. But that's definitely a really great idea. It's an avenue of marketing that I haven't really explored much, just because I've been mostly focusing on my Instagram. So that is definitely a good reminder, because I do have I do have freebies on my website as well that people can use, you know, to gather some free information, but also subscribe to the newsletter. So that's something I do need to pick back up as well. I think that's a really good suggestion. It's a good way to nurture leads.
Yeah, I think sometimes the hang up, because I see clients do stellar social media content and then they're like, oh, I just can't add another content channel. And I think when you think about layering on email as just another way to amplify the content you're already producing, like you could even just, you know, put a little intro and then say, go check it out on Instagram. You don't have to actually put all the content in email. It's just let me reach these people another way, because people are busy. They get bombarded with tons of messages. And so then it becomes a lot less overwhelming to add email in, because it's not like, oh gosh, now I have to create more content and I don't have time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will say, I do love your freebies. Like you have the ultimate guidebook to creating a dream pantry. Like they're just such easy wins for anyone thinking about your services but not yet ready. I think they're really great examples for anyone listening to this episode that wants to go check them out.
Right. Yeah.
So, Arianna, I have one final question for you. You know, you are a year in to this business, and you also had a previous business doing personal styling. If you had to give one piece of advice to someone who's a little earlier on than you but thinking about growing and marketing their business, what might that piece of advice be?
Yeah, I definitely would say the one piece of advice that I would give to new business owners for marketing is to really get to know your ideal client. I, you know, like I said, both my coaching programs, I didn't really get it until after completing the second business coaching program, that it's really important to know who are you marketing to. because that could be very specific, and it'll help you to focus your marketing, because you don't really want to, I wouldn't say you don't want to market to everyone. You really want to speak to who do you want to work with in your business? And that's what an ideal client is. So I feel like that has really helped me propel my marketing, or at least I should say, get my marketing to a point where I can definitely grow with my marketing, because I know who my ideal client is. I know who my niche is. And I know that I know what their problem areas are. I know what their pain points and what their needs are. And I know how to, you know, to talk to them so that they will ideally want to work with me and feel that my services are the solution to their problems.
That is an amazing piece of advice. And I think explaining some of that hesitation that you have is probably what many of our listeners are hearing, and like, oh, I have the same hesitation, and being able to say like, this helped me get more traction more quickly because I'm now able to understand who I'm serving better, I think is just such a great learning lesson. And like, how much easier is it to create content for Instagram or ask the right questions right. in your form? Like, everything just becomes easier when you have a more narrow audience.
Right. And it's even more important too, if you have the ability to kind of like to talk to your ideal client one-on-one, because they'll use the language that you can use in your marketing. They'll talk about what things work for them and what things have not worked for them. Particularly in my industry in home organizing, I've had, you know, used, you know, content. My content is based around what my ideal client's pain points are. So I try to always give them tips, and I do a lot of tips on my Instagram and show them, you know, ways to, you know, whether like the busy mom doesn't have time to, you know, organize a particular space. I give different tips on how to like, you know, organize like within 20 minutes or whatever time they have. So I think that's key. Like having your ideal client. And for me, I'm still researching and developing my ideal client. I have a good idea of who my ideal client is, but I'm always learning. And it's so helpful when it comes to marketing. When it comes to growing your business, my biggest advice I would give is that, and I found myself doing this a lot during my first year in business, is don't compare yourself to other businesses. You may see other businesses who appear to be more successful than your business, and you don't know what their journey is, what got them to that point. So as it relates to my industry, and I'm sure other industries, there are so many professional organizers out there. And what I found is it's okay to see what others are doing, because you do want to see what your competitors are doing, but you also want to stay focused on your business. Although we share common goals in my industry, it's to help get our clients organized. And each of us have a different approach. We all have a different organizing style. So my advice is stay focused on what works for your business, and you will attract those ideal clients.
Love that. So Arianna, for anyone who's listening that wants to follow you online, see more about what you're doing, check out your services, where should they go?
Sure. So on social media, it's at HomemadeMe. And if you're interested in finding out more about our services, you can head over to the website. It's www.homemadeneat.com.
Great. And those will be linked in the show notes. So please make sure to check those out. And thank you so much for your time today and sharing everything that's been working well for you.
My pleasure. This was a great experience, and just I'm happy. And thank you again for inviting me to be a speaker today.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.